This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Nearly 8 hours after the standoff began in Philadelphia, the suspect involved in a shooting that left six Philadelphia police officers wounded was arrested. Reports are he surrendered after speaking on the phone with his lawyer last night. The incident began hours earlier when police tried to serve a warrant in a drug investigation. Thousands gathering at a baseball stadium in El Paso last night to remember the victims of the recent mass shootings at a Walmart there. Texas Governor Greg Abbott among those who spoke.
We may never fully understand the evil in this world or the hatred behind it, but here is what we do know. We know this evil will not overcome us.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Following recent deadly mass shootings, top Democrats on gun reform are now looking to have a meeting with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell about the problem. In a letter, the heads of the House Democratic Task Force on Gun Violence Prevention say they want to discuss a pair of proposals that are designed to strengthen background checks for all gun sales. The letter was signed by Representative Mike Thompson, the chairman of the task force, and 17 other members of the group. Thousands of people gathered at a baseball stadium in downtown El Paso to remember the victims from both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border that were killed in this month's mass shooting at an El Paso Walmart. Following a deadly mountaineering season on Mount Everest, the Nepal Government Committee is requiring climbers to have scaled tall mountains, undergo training and possess certificates of good health and insurance, and will recover rescue costs if required. You're listening to USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to LightYourLiberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com.
Another New York police officer, this one with 25 years on the force, has committed suicide. Police say 56-year-old Robert Echeverria shot himself in the head at his Queens home last night, becoming the ninth city officer to commit suicide this year. And the suicide comes just a day after another cop there killed himself in his home in Yonkers. 50 years ago today, the Woodstock Festival got underway in a small town in New York State. About 400,000 people showed up on Max Yasger's farm for the 3 days of peace and music. There were reports that numerous babies were born there. This woman claims she was one of them.
I was still in utero during the first 2 days of Woodstock, but by the beginning of the third day, I'd finally been born. So I got to see Jimi Hendrix close out the festival.
Plans to hold a concert to mark the 50-year Woodstock anniversary recently fell apart. And a city in Northern California is getting a talking toilet. The St. Helena City Council approving spending $180,000 to install a modular public restroom that self-cleans and features soothing music and a voice that welcomes you. However, if you're still in there after 10 minutes, that voice will warn you that time is passing and the door is about to open, which it will then do shortly thereafter, whether you're ready or not. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention timeshare owners. Are high maintenance fees driving you crazy? Well, how would you like to rent or even sell your timeshare and eliminate your maintenance fees? Now you can by making one quick call to Timeshares by Owner, a national company with an A+ BBB rating that specializes in helping consumers sell or rent their timeshares. And if you call right now, we'll give you a free timeshare market evaluation and explain to you our exclusive double your money back guarantee. Now you don't need to be wasting money on a timeshare you don't always use. You can rent or even sell it. Call right now and get your free market report and learn about our industry-leading double your money back guarantee. Learn your options now on how to sell or rent your timeshare and eliminate most of the cost and headaches. Call now. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, that is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. As we've been saying on the show, it is the truth that will set you free. All this ad hominem opinionating is not doing anything to heal the problems of this country. And I'll tell you, our next guest is someone that I just am so grateful for her championing the cause for truth on behalf of we the people. I'm talking about Sarah Carter, currently an investigative reporter, Fox News contributor. She's a visiting fellow with the Independent Women's Forum as well, amongst all her other duties. You do have other parts of your life that you do contend with, do you not, Sarah?
Thank you so much for having me on, Bill. Yeah, well, it's been a long 3 years of the investigation. I really appreciate what you have to say. You know, there have been quite a few of us involved in trying to get the answers and seek those answers that are the truth based on documentation, based on facts, not based on hyperbole or, you know, rumor or even lies or innuendo coming from sources without credibility. So it's really been a long 3 years, and it was interesting last night. Quite a few people asked pretty much the same question you asked today. You know, how'd you pull through the last 3 years? And it's just one step at a time, one bite at a time, right?
Exactly. Well, that was my thought. That was my thought, is that, you know, who would have thought this is 3 years plus. I mean, this has been quite the process, because the resistance is well fortified. They're well rooted. There's no doubt. And we've been saying from day one, when Donald Trump came in as an outside agent, they were not going to be very happy, because they were thriving on the incompetency and the darkness of this government. And Donald Trump is here for a reason, and he has shed light on all this, and what you've been shedding light on behalf of the people here, Sarah, which we're so grateful for, all the great work that you and, you know, Judicial Watch, John Solomon, I mean, the long list of people that have been pulling on this thread, that you keep pulling on the thread and it keeps getting longer and longer. And the thing is what's scary about this is that it connects to the White House.
That's right. I mean, I think that's what, you know, in the scope of everything, what we have to realize is that had Donald Trump not become president, when you think of it this way, hypothetically, all the people that have been exposed would have been in enormous positions of power now.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly. We would have never really known the truth unless somebody really wanted to dig and find out, or unless somebody talked. And remember, in the very beginning, I mean, this was almost nearly 3 years ago, what the part of the story that started to unravel dealt with the unmasking. And I brought that up last night on Sean Hannity's
yes.
show. And thank God for Judicial Watch and their capability, and Tom Fitton, Chris Farrell, and all of them, for their ability to raise the funding that's needed to fight for these documents in court. Because without these documents, the American people really would not know the truth. You know, we FOIA'd documents in the past, John and I, and that takes a long time. Judicial Watch is able to take them to task in a courtroom and fight them here in the federal level in Washington, D.C., and that's what they've done. And that's the reason why last night they were able to break the FBI 302 interviews with Bruce Orr.
Bruce Orr, exactly.
So, yeah, and he was he's still at the Justice Department. He was demoted 3 times because of the discovery first, you know, that he did not basically tell his superiors that he was the back channel for the FBI for the British spy Christopher Steele after the FBI basically let Christopher Steele go because he was leaking information to the media. And so Bruce Orr continued. The FBI still needed and wanted information from Christopher Steele, which, by the way, they've never been able to verify.
That's
not
amazing.
Even to this day.
Right. That's amazing.
If you read Robert Mueller's report, you'll see for a fact that Robert Mueller says unverified,
right.
Unverified dossier. So, but they use that information anyways to get a warrant through the FISA court to spy on Carter Page, which is such an amazing story. It would be hard for listeners to understand. Like, if I was to write this as a novel,
exactly,
or a screenplay, it would be almost impossible for people to follow because everybody else is connected to everybody else, is connected to something different. And as you unravel those layers, you start to see what was going on and what it was and what it appears to be was a soft coup.
Exactly. I think you're very diplomatic in referring to it as a soft coup. I mean, a coup's a coup. I mean, I don't want to correct you, but I know you're being, you know, very judicious about it, just like John Solomon. John Solomon's very careful, and you have been as well, and I respect that. But, you know, Jerome Corsi called it a coup. You've called it a coup several times here.
It is a coup.
Yes.
It is a coup. It is a coup. And the reason I say a soft coup is because there's different types of coups, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where,
yes.
You know, the military.
Yeah, the military takeover, right. Exactly.
It's a bloody coup. No, this is a different type. This was, I say, soft coup because it's done under the underbelly, right? Without people realizing what's going on. They made it very overt, actually, when President Trump became president, when he was elected president, because then they had no other choice but to kick in what I believe and what Senator Lindsey Graham has said is their insurance policy.
Exactly.
And the insurance policy was to continue to go after President Trump until he was impeached. And what made it so difficult to, you know, to write these stories was because there were so many people that in the media in particular that were on the side of Brennan, Clapper, Comey, Hillary Clinton, that they didn't want to report the facts. They wanted to report what these officials and former officials were saying without any facts.
Exactly.
That President Trump was somehow a Manchurian candidate, you know, sent by the Russians, you know, to become president, when everybody knew that was in here in Washington, D.C., analysts and others, that Vladimir Putin really had no idea how President Trump was going to be as a president for him.
Exactly.
And he was nervous and afraid of that.
Well, he knew Hillary Clinton. I mean, he knew Bill Clinton. He had had their way with him. So that's why it's beyond reason to think that he wanted Donald Trump to be elected. I thought Mueller's statement to that end was totally incorrect, coming from somebody who didn't even know, which blew me away. He didn't know about Fusion GPS.
That's right. I mean, how do you not know about Fusion GPS, which is basically the center mass? Fusion GPS, State Department, working in conjunction with the FBI, the center mass, to get the information that they wanted, the disinformation out. And we know that now based on these 302s. We see the meetings that Bruce Orr had at the DOJ, even those connections with people like Pavlak over at State Department, and how Christopher Steele was meeting with folks at State, and how he wanted to leak information. You have Bruce Orr saying emphatically that this foreign British spy, former British spy, which, by the way, which is still I hate using that word former. He's still in touch with people at MI6. He's still working his sources. Was actually interfering in a U.S. election. Want to talk about interfering in a U.S. election?
Well, that's the thing that's so rich about all this. And we're going to get deeper into these 302s on the other side of the break as our conversation with Sarah Carter continues. Sarah, I will tell you, I had to pick up the book, The Mueller Report, which has an introduction with Alan Dershowitz, because when you talk about all the names involved, it is phenomenal. And I had to track him down, and this was a great resource for me. So that is dog-eared right now and stays close to me, because when you follow all the players here, it's unending. More from Sarah Carter after this. Stay with us.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
Bill Martinez.
People hang on his every word, even the prepositions. He could disarm you with his looks or his hands. Either way, he can speak French in Russian. He is
listening, my friend. Bill Martinez Live.
I'll tell you, Sarah, you know, you don't know how hard it is to speak French in Russian. I'm just saying.
That's what I was doing.
I'm just gonna
say that is the best line I have heard in a long time.
Well, speak French in Russian.
I don't even know where that's coming from, but I love it.
Well, that and the hanging prepositions, you know, we just love it too. Sarah Carter, investigative reporter and Fox News contributor, visiting fellow with the Independent Women's Forum, continues with us. Sarah, let's break it wide open. The Bruce Orr 302s, grateful to all the work you've been doing, Judicial Watch as well on this. Explain to our audience what these 302s are revealing about Bruce Orr. And the other thing, too, when we started talking about it in the last segment, is the timing. Interestingly,
that's right. The
timing of these meetings with Bruce Orr and our fired operative from the CIA.
That's right. They all coincide. They all mm-hmm. coincide with different steps that the FBI was taking to move forward with these FISA warrants, with the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrant. Remember, it wasn't just about spying on Carter Page.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they wanted access to Carter Page was this, so they could have secondary and tertiary connections with people. So they would be listening to his conversations and those conversations with others and those other conversations with others. And they could go back, because when you're collecting data on someone and when you get a FISA warrant, you don't just move from that point forward. Mm-hmm. You could actually go back into their phone calls and records and collect those records as well. So this is why they wanted them. And what's so fascinating about these 302s is that it makes it very clear now that the FBI knew very well the bias and prejudice coming from Christopher Steele, that Christopher Steele had told Bruce Orr on numerous occasions that he did not want Trump to become president, that he would do anything he could to stop him. Bruce Orr did tell that to the FBI, but the FBI kept wanting more and more information. There's on December 20th, 2016, Orr apparently provided the FBI with his wife Nellie Orr's Fusion GPS research.
Mm-hmm.
So think about this. They knew everything. They knew the information was coming from Fusion GPS. They don't specifically state that in the FISA. They don't even let the courts really know what's going on here, which is that Hillary Clinton and the DNC are paying for this research that is then being recirculated throughout the government, piled on top of each other. So, for example, one story that Christopher Steele leaks, right, if he leaks mm-hmm. it to Michael Isikoff from Yahoo News,
mm-hmm.
then they not only use his research, which was unverified, but then they use the story as a separate piece of evidence to pile on.
Exactly.
So it's the same piece of information, but they're piling on from different areas because they're leaking the information.
Sarah, people need to understand, why the game, why they do this. Because when they leak this information, they bring that to the FISA court as if it's common knowledge, right? I mean, there is a strategy.
They bring it to the FISA court as if it's new evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, look, not only do we have this from this document, but we have this story from the Washington Post or the New York Times or Reuters that says a similar thing. So here's a separate piece of
right.
collected evidence.
The story they planted.
Exactly. The story they planted. So they build on the evidence with their unverified. So it's not even like it's a real piece of evidence. It's not like they're trying to skirt around it or trying to add, which would be wrong anyway. They bring unverified evidence twofold, which they leaked.
Why is it so important for, you know, in the legal system, in this whole process, to make sure that the information you're getting is not prejudiced? And why the FBI decided early on they needed to have distance and fire, not only because he did leak information, I'm talking about Christopher Steele, but also because he was so prejudiced, that should have invalidated and disqualified any of his report whatsoever, right?
Oh, absolutely. The court absolutely requires that the evidence be verified. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you will have no one in that courtroom to defend you. Mm-hmm. This is the only court in the land where nobody represents you. So if I'm the FBI and I want to spy on Bill Martinez, I better have all of the evidence verified and validated when I bring it before the secret court, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, because there will be no one there to defend you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is based on our Fourth Amendment. This is
exactly.
The right for people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. This is what makes our nation so great and so different from so many other countries. And once that erodes, once the government has the capability to basically go into your paperwork, go through your records, go into your home, we might as well live in the former Soviet Union or in Russia today or in Pakistan or in other nations where you have no rights whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And think about the damage that can be done if the government has access to information. Information is a gold mine, right? It's more than money. It's the real power.
Right.
If they can listen in on your phone conversations or those of judges or of state-level officials or congressional officials and collect information on them, imagine what people can do with that information. It's not like you're going to put people to jail. You could blackmail people. You could do whatever you want.
Right.
But look at what happened here. The country's been literally held hostage for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
For 2.5 years because the people that were in power did not want Donald Trump. They didn't care about the fact that we had a duly elected president, that the American people went out there and elected President Trump to become president. They didn't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care about your rights. They believed they knew better than you, than those people who voted for President Trump.
Exactly.
And they were going to save those people from what they didn't want, which was this president. And they were desperate to have Hillary Clinton there. Even if some of them didn't like her, they wanted her.
Well,
that was it.
Even one of the FBI interrogants who met with her, on that fateful day to inquire about all the emails and everything like that, referred to her as Madam President. What does that tell you?
Oh, it tells you that's exactly what they, and I can tell you this, from my sources involved at that time during the investigation, that's exactly what almost everyone thought at the highest level. They even told one source of mine, she's going to be the next president of the United States. I wouldn't push this if I were you.
Exactly. Well, that's what held Comey back. He said the reason he had to approach it this way was that he did not want to, keep her from becoming president.
So two-tier justice system, Bill, is that what we're talking about now? Because that's what I talked about
last time. It's obvious, isn't it?
It is. And people should be very concerned about this. It's hard for us to face the facts that in our country, something like this can happen. But we have to be very diligent and we have to be very open about what happened. Because if we cover it up, if the DOJ covers it up, if people sweep this under the rug and say, well, let's just move on, it won't be the end of it. And it really will erode the foundation that our nation's based on. Why should someone think that America is exemplary if we do the exact same thing that every other banana republic does on the planet? If we don't hold people accountable, if Lady Liberty and Lady Justice, and the scales of justice are not balanced. I mean, the reason so many nations erode is one major thing. It's inequality in the justice system. It's when the justice system fails them. I saw that in Afghanistan. I've seen that in other places throughout the world where I traveled, where people absolutely lose their faith in their country because the justice system is failing them. And the Department of Justice is one of the most respected throughout the world, our Department of Justice. And that's why I truly do have faith that William Barr and John Durham are going to do their job. And if they don't, then I think we have a really serious problem on our hands.
Sarah, there really are Obi-Wan Kenobis on this, are they not?
Yes.
Our final hope. I mean, because
you said that, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yep.
I think so.
It really is.
Sarah Carter, I'm Bill Martinez, visiting fellow with the Independent Women's Forum and investigative reporter. Sarah, as always, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Now that the Fed has cut interest rates by 0.25%, chances are you're paying too much for your mortgage or those high-interest credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates we've seen in 10 years. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Nearly 8 hours after the standoff began in Philadelphia, the suspect involved in a shooting that left six Philadelphia police officers wounded was arrested. Reports are he surrendered after speaking on the phone with his lawyer last night. The incident began hours earlier when police tried to serve a warrant in a drug investigation. Thousands gathering at a baseball stadium in El Paso last night to remember the victims of the recent mass shootings at a Walmart there. Texas Governor Greg Abbott among those who spoke.
We may never fully understand the evil in this world or the hatred behind it, but here is what we do know. We know this evil will not overcome us.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird!
It's a plane! It's
Bill Martinez, live.
Cape and all, ready for you, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. I am Bill Martinez. We've got Scott Johnston with us, his new book, Campus Land. And gives us a... Okay. Some might say a sobering consideration of campus life. It is a novel. It might explain some things. Scott, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
PC culture, campus is where it all began, right?
Yes, and you said sobering, but the book is meant to be great fun.
Yes.
And it came about because... 3 years ago, I was at a free speech conference at Yale that 200 students tried to physically break up, having apparently skipped irony class that day. and then fast forward to my college reunion, where I was holding the door open for an undergraduate girl who refused to go through the door, accusing me of patriarchy for holding it. So I decided then that for some reason no one had written a novel about all this craziness, I was going to be the guy to do it.
Well, Scott graduated in the 80s from Yale, so he knows whence he talks about. And it is, I say sobering in as much as that what happens is, you look at some of this video from the DSA and hear more things about coming out of the campus culture. And, us seniors, we look at that and we go, what is going on with our kids here? I mean, we got to learn this new language, this woke language. We've got to really have a grasp of pronouns so we don't offend anybody. Not that we, wake up every day, Scott, and think, okay, well, how am I going to tick somebody off here,
Well, the bar for outrage is set extremely low, and as it happens in campus land, it's really the currency of the modern campus now, and they move from sort of outrage to outrage from one week to the next. It's sort of their fuel. Unfortunately, they graduate, and it's, you know, we all know the colleges have always been liberal places, but it used to be kind of a sideshow, and people graduate and start paying taxes and
right. What
happens.
They find out the real life.
Turn into Alexandria or Ocasio-Cortez.
Right, and they live another day until at some point. I mean, there has to be a reckoning with this. I mean, reason would dictate this, although right now that which is reasonable may be challenged only because these are the times, and we need more voices like you just to kind of bring some humor to it so that we don't take it so seriously that we explode. And that's what I'm concerned about, Scott, is that some of these kids come out and they're very serious about it. They've been in this echo chamber for so long. And they're all in on the narrative. And, it's like, okay, well, how can you go out and be constructive and contribute to society as a whole if you're, some of us might declare it being damaged. Of course, they would be insulted by the mere reference.
Well, because they deliberately insulate themselves from viewpoints with which they disagree, they've lost the ability to argue or reason.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes entirely about emotion and emoting. And your feelings are essentially, they trump everything else. There's an expression going around, and it's a chapter title of one of my books, which is your own, something about your own truth. State your own truth.
Right.
And when do we have our own truths? I mean, isn't there only one truth?
Yes, exactly.
Since when is there a proprietary truth that you have?
Right.
Well,
but that's been growing for quite a while, and we've seen that. And even though it gets challenged, they just ignore you because, as you say, they're very effective at invalidation. And I've referred to it as the spirit of invalidation, where, you know, sadly, the argument is thwarted and we end up, entering the realm of mediocrity. Because if everybody is the same and there's no contraindication or contraforce against your thought to challenge you, your blade will get dull, and so will you, consequently.
And social media is part of the problem here because a relatively small number of people amplify their voices tremendously through organs like Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and they cow people into obeisance. Not just college administrators who are usually more than happy to go along.
Right.
But Fortune 500 companies can be cowed and change course on something within 24 hours if a few mm-hmm. people start screaming on Twitter.
Well, we saw what happened in New York, right? Speaking of Ocasio-Cortez, she, instead of putting the welcoming mat for, an organization that's bringing, thousands of jobs to an area that is blighted, and these jobs were not minimum wage jobs. These are six-figure jobs that she just chased out of town, right?
Should drum her out of office for that alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was insane. But again, that argument was driven by, and this is exactly what happens on campuses and happens in my book, these arguments are driven by a relatively small number of extremely active, extremely angry people.
Mm-hmm. Is it the power, are we just in that era of the power of the emotion? I mean, because you have such a small number where the minority is given such place and regard that everything else is compromised. I mean, it's not even to make things better. It's just to kind of keep them quiet, I guess.
Well, this has its roots in French philosophers like Descartes, who said that, there's nothing you can know to be true other than what you perceive.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, your emotions are fact.
Right.
And history must... And current events must yield to your view of them
mm-hmm.
because that's all that matters.
Scott, where are we going with all this? I mean, it's like we've been on this road for several decades here now, and it's gotten worse. And I keep thinking at some point there's going to be I'll use the word sobering. A sobering voice that cuts through it to kind of get people to stop. I mean, this oversensitivity, what was demonstrated at the DSA meeting recently, I found it to be quite interesting. And then I had to step away for a second. I go, it's beyond interesting. I mean, the fact of the matter is that you have a number of people that, can't handle applause, that we have to use jazz hands. Our pronouns have to be corrected, and we've got to be, gender sensitive these days. I mean, it's to a point that, conversations like you and I are having right now are going to be greatly hindered.
Well, I'm trying to be one of those voices, and the method I've chosen is humor and satire. But if people learn a few things along the way, because everything that happens in my book pretty much was drawn from real life.
Mm-hmm.
I do it all in a humorous way, but, you know, hopefully people wake up a little bit. I'm not very optimistic, I have to tell you the truth, particularly where colleges are concerned. I don't think there's any saving them.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see a wave of college bankruptcies over the next 10 to 20 years as they probably get turned into old age homes for seniors.
Right. Cranky seniors that are still in their echo chambers, no doubt. Which, you know, and the thing is, Scott, is that here you've got comedians that refuse to go to campuses anymore because they say they're just not funny.
Well, it's worse than that. There are all sorts of things they can't make jokes about. I mean, comedians are supposed to push the edge, right?
Right.
And maybe even go over the edge a little bit. And there are so many things where you can't do that on a college campus, and they get harassed and yelled at and screamed at. And there's a long list of comedians, starting with Jerry Seinfeld, who will not go to campuses anymore.
Exactly.
The left is not known for their sense of humor. Mm-hmm.
Well, and here you are in an institution where knowledge and education is promoted, theoretically, and you get smart people like Charles Murray, who brings in a thought, idea, a learned man, that can bring something to the debate and enlighten people, and they chase him out of Dodge and threaten him. And I think they even actually hurt one of the people who were with him.
One of his entourage was assaulted, yes.
Physically
assaulted, not just
it's
verbally.
Just nuts. I mean, you know, like, but it's like, do they not see what they're doing? I mean, it's the dumbing down of the institution, and welcome into the era of, what I call mediocrity. Because if you've blunted the voices and there's no earnest debate, I mean, we become moronic, don't we?
Well, the victim in all this is the pursuit of truth, which is supposed to be the very mission of a university.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't anymore, and it's more about validating feelings.
And how does that make parents feel who spend all this money, you know, for the parents who paid it and not the kids that are paying for the tuition afterwards, who, if Elizabeth Warren gets it, it'll all be free, I guess, or Bernie Sanders.
This is why a lot of colleges are going to be bankrupt, because parents are going to realize that spending $250,000 so their kid can major in oppression studies and drink for 4 years is not a great value proposition.
Exactly. And then they got to spend another $250,000 in therapy just to kind of bring them into the fold, I guess, maybe. Anyway, stay with us. Scott Johnson is with us. We're talking about his new novel, Campus Land. It is a novel right here on Bill Martinez.
From the creators of War Room.
You need to do your in prayer.
On August 23rd, the Kendrick brothers return to the big screen with Overcomer.
Well, I have a season with one runner.
One runner matters.
John Harrison is a frustrated coach questioning his value until he crosses paths with a student struggling on her own journey.
What have you allowed to define you?
When you find your identity in the one who created you, it'll change your whole perspective.
Overcomer. In theaters August 23rd, starring Alex Kendrick, Priscilla Shira, and Sherry Rigby. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested. For tickets and showtimes, visit overcomermovie.com.
Is that?
That's Hannah.
Run, Hannah!
You know, most people don't know they're missing the most important nutritional components in their diet. If we really want to feel good and not miss work and get the most of each day, then we need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mother's lineage. It helps our body recognize when we're under attack and fights all those nasty microbes we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is to seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstream. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Hey, DC. There's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, this portion of the show being brought to you by Network Capital Funding, the direct lending team. It's going to start saving you money right away in your mortgage and high-interest credit card payments. Are you in? Give them a call, 800-700-8068, no obligation. They got all the details for you, and it's all about saving you money, especially with these interest rates falling the way they are. Why not take advantage? Our conversation with Scott Johnson continues. He's a Yale graduate who has taught classes there even. He's worked in finance for 35 years. You still have the scars from teaching there at Yale, right?
Probably you wear them. I loved it.
Yes. I mean, good scars. I talk scars. I mean, there's good scars and bad scars, but good scars, I'm sure.
One of the themes of Campus Land is what a sort of blissful bubble a school like Yale or Devon, in my novel, can be. The protagonist of the novel. The storyline is he's a professor up for tenure, and he desperately wants to stay inside that bubble.
Mm-hmm. So you could relate to that?
I can. A bit. I'm highly critical of almost everything that's going on campuses, but, I also still sort of love the experience that I had, mm-hmm. both as a teacher and a student, and I wish things could be fixed.
Yeah, Scott, I think you and I are a little bit alike that way, is that we look for anything, especially when it gets a little goofy, that there's got to be redemption in there somewhere, right?
I'd like to think so. I'm not terribly optimistic.
No. Well, it's quite the force, and as you say, even though you're offering, a voice to indicate this, it's tough because they've been able to gain ground with a small minority of people, and they're using every force they can get their hands on to compel people to think like them. I mean, it's to the point now where even in the political vein, if you have a black face, you better make sure you have a black voice that goes along with it, or a brown face, then a brown voice, or a gay face demands a gay voice, whatever that means. But this is all part of the study, I guess.
Well, I remember there was a fraternity at Brown that got in trouble because they were having a Mexican party, and mm-hmm. the poster had, a Mexican person with a sombrero.
Sombrero, sure.
And they were culturally appropriating.
Yeah.
And these days, if you're going to have a Mexican food truck or restaurant, you better be Mexican or you've appropriated a culture.
Exactly. So how do you eat a taco if you're not a Mexican, right?
Yeah, you better be careful what you eat.
I guess. I mean, I may be getting in trouble because we're, you know, going to Hawaii here next week, and the daughter unit has delivered her second child, my 10th grandchild, and so we're excited to go there. But also part of the tradition every time is that we go and we have Ohana, which in Hawaii, you know, could be 40, 60 people. And especially when they know Taco Night is happening at the Martinez facility, you know, we'll have, you know, like last time, I think we served up over 70 tacos. So now I'm messing up. I'm probably screwing up something on the islands, and now things are going to be out of sync because I have appropriated culture or misappropriated culture here by making friends and sharing tacos with my fellow Ohanans there in Kauai.
Well, the students at Yale have gotten upset in the past over different food selections in the dining halls because they decided it was cultural appropriation and improper for a dining hall to serve whatever the ethnic food was.
How do you live life this way? You know, you wake up every morning and you just go, okay, I got to be ticked off about something, you know, and I mean, you, instead of looking at all the good things that are there right before you, like the fact that you even woke up and you got a blue sky over you and green leaves on the tree, or you're up in the Northeast and you come into the season of color there, which is absolutely magnificent. You know, Scott, I got to tell you, I was born and raised in Southern California. So the first time I went to the East Coast and I was in Virginia and I saw the autumn leaves, it blew me away. It was nothing, you know, you see pictures of it and that, but when you're actually right there in the middle of it, all it's so spectacular. And so when I came back to California, I said, you know, I was telling everybody about the vibrant colors and everything, and you know, compared to Southern California, where everything is you know, the color is smog brown, you know.
Well, one of the things of campus land is ingratitude. A lot of the students at places like Yale seem just really angry to be there, and
yeah,
it's a beautiful place,
right.
It's a great school. It's you should be really happy you're there. And in particular, a lot of people aren't paying a cent to be there. Mm-hmm. And yet there's sort of an inverse relationship sometimes between how much you've paid to go to a school and how grateful you are to be there.
Exactly. Well, Kirkus Review says this about Scott's book: this high-spirited, richly imagined and brave novel is a delight to read. Trigger warning, it should not be read by those who lack a sense of humor. So we'll, you know, and who knows, maybe it might be engaging enough to, in that sense of humor that you may have lost, you may find in campus land, huh?
I hope readers enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed writing it. I originally wrote it to amuse myself.
Well, why not? I mean, you know, you are your first customer. You address drinking age. You say it's too high. Why is it too high?
So this is not something that's widely discussed or understood. I believe the drinking age should be lowered for beer and wine in particular, or only to 18. I mean, there's the obvious argument that you can go get shot for your country at age 18.
Right.
You can sign contracts. You can get married. I mean, mm-hmm. Is someone really mature enough to decide to get married but not mature enough to have a beer? That's
sure.
Insane to me.
Yeah, you get married, that'll drive you to drink, no matter what age. But that's another story. Go ahead.
With college campuses in particular, the increase in the drinking age has caused problems. It's caused a compliance nightmare for the colleges because some students can drink and some can't. But more to the point, the kids have not stopped drinking. What they've done is they've gone into their little silos where they can get away with it. And mm-hmm. So they've sort of formed cliques and balkanized, and you don't have this sort of big, wide, open, fun campus event culture that once existed. And plus, they've changed their habits. They've moved from beer to hard alcohol because, you know, beer is very heavy and hard to conceal.
Mm-hmm.
So they mostly drink vodka now, and so they're pre-gaming and binging with vodka and other hard alcohol. And this is getting them in way more trouble than they used to get in the days of, you know, college students mostly drinking beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know of anyone who's ever gone to the hospital because they drank too much beer unless they got behind a wheel.
Right.
I think it's physically impossible. And we tried.
But you know, there's something about telling somebody no. And if you, and the other thing too, and I've studied this before, just even in business life, is that once you start setting up, you know, barriers in such a way, you know, are you promoting goodness or badness? And in this case, if I can put it in those kind of, you know, pedestrian terms, but that you are really, you know, forcing people to, in a sense, kind of break the law. I mean, you know, that's what they do anyway. So why not? You know, what damage is it going to do? They're already drinking, and you know, beer and wine. And if that's legal, then that's one less law that they have to feel like they're breaking. Because once you start going down the law breaking road, then it, you know, one leads to another, does it not?
Well, one good thing has happened, which is drunk driving has declined immensely.
Mm-hmm.
But that hasn't declined because of the change in the legal age. It's declined because the penalties for drunk driving have gone through the roof.
Right.
It, you know, used to be that, you know, they'd say, get home safe, son. And the evidence that for this is that drunk driving has declined amongst all age groups, not just 18 to 21-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that, you know, while that's a point, they're misinterpreting the data on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we move beer and wine only back to 18, you would nudge college students and others that are that age, you'd nudge them back in a slightly safer direction. And, you know, as I said, I don't think anybody thinks college students aren't drinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, is this part and parcel, I guess, what I was trying to suggest, and I wasn't saying it very well, was the over-criminalization. You know, we're having a lot of discussion these days about how things have been over-criminalized, whether it's drinking, you know, getting high, dealing with certain drugs and that sort of thing. And certainly in some communities, boy, you get on the road to being a criminal, you know, at the age of 10, it's like you're always perceived as that.
Well, the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit has made criminals of us all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And why not just have a 75-mile-an-hour speed limit that is actually enforced, where if you go 76, you get a ticket.
Right.
But instead, we've all been made criminals.
Yeah. Yeah, because they know, I mean, well, they know, we know, 10 miles over. I mean, you can't drive 55 in Florida. If you do, you're going to get run over. You know, everything's the Autobahn in Florida.
I think it's physically impossible to drive 55 on a highway.
Yeah, I mean, you will become a bug on somebody's windshield. Let's talk Title IX. You address this in your book as well.
Sure. So this is, you know, we've talked a little bit about speech and how that's gone south and how that's an ill wind in academia. But Title IX is another very big deal. It started off as a way to get some parity between girls and boys sports teams, and that's fine, and that did the job it was supposed to do. But it metastasized during the Obama years in his education department, where they made it about something else altogether. And the net effect of it has been to remove due process rights from boys who are accused of sexual improprieties.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not denying that things like that happen and they should be dealt with. The problem is, as a boy, you can now be thrown out of college with a simple accusation and with no
due process.
No due process whatsoever, no witnesses, no, you can't hire a lawyer, you can't, I mean, you're essentially railroaded out very quickly. And there are 500 lawsuits from these boys against universities and counting across the country, and they're winning most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And girls have realized, who maybe who don't have the best, some who don't have the best motives, that they can use this as a weapon.
Sure.
Title IX is now a verb, as in, if you break up with me, I will Title IX your ass.
Title IX, exactly, exactly. Well, Scott, we got to leave it there. Man, I'll tell you, I love the book. I love your thinking and your writing. This is awesome. Scott Johnson, Campus Land. Get your hands on it. It's linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you, Scott. Take care.
Thank you.
Hey, Bubsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Then bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Anytime.